All right, so getting the message, I've been preaching a few doctrinal messages. I don't like to get up in my own pulpit and camp meeting and like to use other brethren, and I probably will shut down here for long and switch to some of the other brethren. But I believe that doctrine is necessary, very necessary, on revealing the church. You see, false religion can preach repentance, but they can't preach the cardinal teachings of the church. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions when it comes to doctrine set forth in the New Testament, especially teachings concerning the kingdom of God. There are teachings of millenniums, raptures, antichrist, purgatory, tribulation, and the list goes on, seemingly exhaustless. Too many times of preaching and teaching the truth on these matters has silenced up, amen, with the thought that they become offensive. But I say if the truth becomes offensive, then it's because one is in error. Revelation 8:1 says this, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. What kind of a silence? What's he talking about? Amen, just no volume? What kind of silence is he talking about? Well, Isaiah 62:6 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. When God sets a watchman on the wall, they do not, amen, remain silent. Well, somebody said, how do we know when one is telling the truth? There's so many doctrines. How do we know who's telling the truth? Well, as I told you the other day, it would help if you followed in your Bible. And ask God to reveal you the truth and give you understanding. When I study for messages, amen, I usually start right at the beginning of the week and go through and add a little bit each day. But when I study, I ask God to reveal to me. I ask God to give me his thoughts, his revelation on the scriptures, and God always comes to the rescue. When you read the Bible, ask God to show you things in the Bible. Amen. There's things in there that have never even been touched. Amen. But God is a revealer of the truth. Now, 1 John 2:20 says you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That word unction means anointing. Amen. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you receive of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Don't run off with that now. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and his truth is no lie, even as hath taught you, you shall abide in him. This scripture in no way is doing away with pastors, evangelists, teachers, and other functions of the ministry. Amen. What John is saying, you don't need any man to teach you what you heard from the beginning. Amen. In verse 24, he said, let that therefore abide in you what you heard from the beginning. Amen. If that's what you heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You don't need any man to teach you, John says, that which you heard from the beginning. That expression from the beginning is used 9 times, first and second John. From the beginning, they heard the message from the disciples concerning what? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. What they heard was not tradition, but what they heard was factual. From the beginning, what one hears is the truth. When you make your start with God, amen, you made your start with God by being revealed the truth of your condition. Amen, the truth concerning the doctrines and the Bible. Amen, that's what you hear from the beginning. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But it'll only make you free as long as you walk in it. Amen. Now we're going to move right along. Reason for this message, 2 Peter 1:13. Peter writes, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." 2 Peter 3:1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Peter believed in repetition. It's necessary to repeat, amen, doctrines, amen, and different issues, amen, concerning the kingdom. Paul did also in Philippians 3:1. He said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now we want to take a look at the word of God this morning about Antichrist. Antichrist, made up of two words. What does the word actually mean? It means an opponent of the Messiah. I have a book at home called Armageddon, and I bought it, amen, not to receive truth from it, but to receive, amen, what is taught out here in the religious world. It's called Armageddon, and the rest of it says appointment with destiny. Now, the subject of Antichrist was mentioned, and this is some of the wording that's found in that book. It says the Antichrist will be a world leader. Secondly, he'll force the Jews to stop their sacrifices in a rebuilt temple. Number three, he will set up an idol of himself called the Abomination in the temple to be worshipped as God until he's destroyed at the end of the 7 years when Christ returns. This I copied, this part off the internet. The figure who acts as Satan's lead agent during the end times, most Christian scenarios predict the Antichrist are sort of a twin to Jesus Christ in many ways. They predict. Now, there's no Bible, but this is a prediction. It says he'll forge a one world government through promises of peace. But when Jesus returns, he'll expose the Antichrist as an imposter, defeat him in the Battle of Armageddon, reign with the martyrs for 1,000 years on earth. God help us. To most of us who know the truth, this sounds far-fetched and absurd that one could teach such a doctrine, and not only that, but ones actually believe it. Now, when you study into these doctrines, such as purgatory, such as Antichrist, millenniums, tribulation, rapture, amen, hardly any of these different denominations agree with one another. Amen. But as I taught yesterday on the first message here, amen, along doctrinal lines, if you take old Israel out of every one of these doctrines, there's no need of the doctrine. Because every one of these doctrines make room for Israel of old. Amen. Now, error is sown right amongst bits of truth. Now, let's look closely at this subject this morning. I'll hurry right along. Starting with 1 John 2:18. 1 John. John is the only one that wrote about this. I'll give you a moment to turn. 1 John 2:18. "Little children, it is the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now there's two things about Antichrist in this one verse. What was it? The Antichrist were to come, and they were now present. John said they had heard that Antichrist would come, but this is the first time the word Antichrist is used in the Bible. Where did they hear it? Where did they hear the word Antichrist? This is the first time the word Antichrist is used. Amen. What did Jesus call them? He called them false prophets and false Christ. Matthew 24, 24, Jesus speaking, there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and show great signs, amen, to show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. John said there were many antichrists. That is plural. Antichrist is mentioned four times, and antichrist once by the same person. You're not going to find it outside of the Gospels, not outside of the teachings of John. Many times, the word Antichrist has been attached to long lists of supposed Antichrists. But all of these Antichrists have come and gone. And all these Antichrists I'm going to mention, or being called Antichrist, lived after John's writing. One of them was Hitler, Stalin, Khrushchev, Mussolini, Castro, Saddam Hussein. And there's a long list of antichrists that did not live back in the day when this was written. But listen to me, we're going to get into this now. Antichrists are not world leaders, nor are they political leaders. Antichrists are not atheists, neither are they communists. All right. What are antichrists? As used by the Apostle John, they are apostates. And I'm going to prove it to you. The Bible is very plain. Who are the apostates? Those who have defected from the truth. Ones involved in a falling away. Antichrists were present in John's day, even before these world leaders were born. Look at John, 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We need to understand this. When 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John was written, it was written at a time when there was a falling away. It was written at a time when the apostasy had gained real strength. Revelation 10 and 8 says this, "The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go, take the little book which is opened in the hand." Amen. "The hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And he said unto me," who? John. "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." And John did prophesy again. Amen. And when did he prophesy? When there was apostasy. Amen. Gaining real strength. Amen. In the church. There was a falling away. Ones were falling away from truth. Amen. And it already affected the church of the morning time. When the spirit of apostasy hits a congregation or an individual, or a group of people, it has long tentacles of Satan. What it'll do, it'll slowly sap the strength out of you, spiritual strength, until ones become confused, misled, and ensnared in the devil's grasp. Who are the antichrists? They were comfortable, professed Christians who were neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And we're going to read it to you right out of the Bible. The only way we're going to finish our course successfully, church, is to love the truth. And if you don't love the truth, you better be at it. Because if you don't love the truth, I'll guarantee you there's going to be something on that highway that's going to take you out. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, familiar scriptures. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that just lays right out the Pope of Rome, doesn't it? Remember you not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, or another word for that delusion is strong deceit. Where's it coming from? God. You want to be deceived? God will help you. You don't want the truth? God will give you something to replace it. Why? That they should believe a lie. This is pretty strong scripture. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 10 doesn't say they didn't have the truth. It doesn't say they didn't know the truth. It doesn't say they didn't know those who spoke the truth. It doesn't say they didn't know where the truth wasn't preached. But it does say they didn't love the truth. They lived in and practiced, amen, they had lived in and practiced truth daily. But it was because they received not the love of the truth, they preferred the system of error and delusion, amen, to the simple and pure gospel. Amen. Now, there is a force of evil in this world, but God's still in control. We know that. Things may seem to be crashing, much chaos, but even then, in some strange way, amen, even the chaos is in God's control. The ultimate triumph of God is always sure. In the end, nothing can stand against God. The lawless one may have his day, but there comes a time when God says this far and no farther. Amen. When people want to fuss over such things as the standard, many times God lets you have your way. You want to dress worldly? Go right at it. God's not going to dispatch an angel down to tell you how to dress. You should have had a mother and dad teach you that. Yeah. But Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked or made fun of. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his, amen, to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Just remember, what you sow is going to harvest. I want to ask you to remember me in prayer. This sciatic is going right down my leg, and I mean, the Lord's helping me, but it's really entertaining me, but I want to get through this if I can. If you want to dress so you tempt some weak soul to committing a crime, go right at it. And I believe the way women dress, and it's usually the women, has a lot to do with some of the crimes with the weak people in our world. Deuteronomy 22 and 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all, woman or man, that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, there are women who have left the church right here at God's Acres over this verse. Amen. They want the right to wear that which pertains to a man, otherwise slacks and so on. But I have never had a man leave the church contending for the right to wear a woman's garment. And it's in the same verse. I never had a man come to me, amen, and say, Brother Decker, I don't agree with you on that. I think I should be able to wear a skirt. Never happened. One verse covers both sexes. Now we know if a man wore a woman's garment, they would be labeled a transvestite. They would take on a feminine look. What about the woman? The woman takes on a manly look with slacks. But she's still labeled a woman. Amen. Antichrist is a spirit that opposes the truth. And it's working on the people of God. The devil wants to get people looking to the future for Antichrist while that spirit works right amongst the people of God then and still is today. John said, even now, AD 96, there were many and they were present. Now, where does Antichrist come from? That's the question. Were they just false ministers that raised up and joined the Church of God congregation? Let's read it. 1 John 2:19. Let's find out where they come from. They went out from us. Okay? Who's us? Wouldn't that include the writer, John? Wouldn't he be part of that us? They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, this is so simple. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Who is the us? Where did these antichrists come from? They come from Church of God congregations. Amen. We're not talking about the us being the Baptists. We're not talking about the us being the Presbyterians or the Methodists. We're talking about Church of God congregations. Am I not right? Who was John pastoring? He pastored at Ephesus. What congregation was it? It was Church of God. Amen. He's not talking about some sectarian church somewhere. The us included John himself and the people of God he was talking to. How simple could John make it? Why did they go out? They wanted it known they were not of us. If they'd been of us, they would have stayed with you. Division affected the church of the morning time. Well, why is that Antichrist? Why is that Antichrist? One reason, it portrays a divided Christ. Go to the Corinthian letter with me. Let's pick it up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10, beginning. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. This I say, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul. Here we go now. Apollos, Cephas, of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, here was a division working in the congregation that the Apostle Paul was a wise master builder of this congregation. The division had not got outside of the congregation yet. So he received a notice from the house of Chloe that division was working. Every one of these, the division wasn't between the ministers. The division was amongst the people at this time. Everybody has their favorite preacher, but you want to be careful that you don't get so caught up with your favorite preacher that you don't hear the others. One said, I'm a Paul. Apollos, amen, a Greek, a great teacher. Another, a Cephas, amen, and Paul with the wisdom he had against the old law, amen, and the new covenant. But our anchor is secure, church, as long as we, amen, as long as that anchor is fastened in Jesus Christ. The devil is powerless as long as we stick with truth and stay together. We have to stay together. I don't like what the pastor said. Well, you ought to hang around here. I say lots of things people don't like. My wife said things I didn't like. I said things she didn't like. But we stayed together. Stayed together. Amen. Just because a husband and a wife have a little fuss, that don't mean that they go out and lock the door and go to an attorney. The same is true in a, amen, in a Church of God congregation. Amen. You and another individual might have a little hard time getting along. You don't leave the congregation. You don't take it out on God for your shortcomings. First John 2:21. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lies are the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is a Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. They deny the Father and Son. How do they do it? Amen. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. Truth is much older than error. You can't have one. Amen. You can have truth, amen, without the opposition of the enemy working. Now, he's not talking about infidels and atheists who deny the existence of Father and of the Son. He's talking about people, Church of God people, amen, who went out from a congregation, a Church of God congregation. Now, when they went out, they didn't stop serving God. They just set up camp somewhere else. What's going on today? They don't go out like they're bad. There used to be a time, I can remember. Amen. I was saved in 67, but I can remember the message back then. If you went out, I'm going to say from this congregation, you were considered backslid. Or you got called away somewhere. That's how it was preached. Unless God called you somewhere. Amen. Either to a job somewhere, whether it was a church. You should never go to a job somewhere else without a thriving Church of God congregation there. But you was considered defecting from the truth. Don't look at me like that. I was sat in this congregation, so I know how it was. There's another hand went up. It was around then. But today, people leave Church of God congregations and walk right into another congregation and take a position. That's a fact. Don't question the pastor where they come from. Don't ever say a word. Just so happy to get somebody that they'll take anything. Amen. Now, what was going on in John's day? They went out from among us. Why? They wanted it known. I don't agree with those people. It doesn't say they backslid. It doesn't say they had a prayer meeting for them. They went out to make it known. Amen. That they were not of them. What happens today? I've had people leave this congregation letting me know they didn't agree with me. They didn't backslide. Now I'm, amen, don't anybody take offense. Amen, because a lot of this I put right to the feet of the leadership. There's always a leader somewheres. There's always a leader somewheres that raises up. How do we know? Go to what Paul said. After my departure, what? Grievous woes will come up. Where? From amongst the people. Amen. Now this is close to us, but don't try to use 1 John and try to put that out to an antichrist when he's talking about the Church of God. I'm not saying that there isn't antichrist spirits out here. I'm not saying that there isn't people out here that's antichrist working against the truth. Sure there is, but it's not in that scripture. This scripture is dealing, amen, with defecting from the truth. People that had truth. Leave it right where John put it. They went out from us. That had to include one of the disciples, John. There are many antichrists. We call them different names than antichrist. But John, he was hung up on that word because he's the only one who used it. Religious people who would not line up with the truth. And we need to be on our guard, church. Or we also could become seduced. I wouldn't want to receive a strong delusion. I wouldn't want to believe a lie and be damned. Because if God sends it to you, who's going to remove it? Who's going to remove it? I know of people, and I've talked with the ministry, I know of people right in this congregation. I'm not talking about some other congregation. I'm talking about this congregation. They had positions and walked out of this congregation in disagreement with me and walked right into a Babylonian church, amen, and take up a position. That's a strong delusion. How in the world could you leave Church of God and go to another church that's not even named Church of God? How could you go to another church, a Babylonian church, that teaches millennium, rapture, tribulation? I'll tell you how they do it. Strong delusion. Amen. Religious people. John said in 1 John 2:26, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now he's not talking about Caesar, Pharaoh, some ruler somewheres. We're not deceived by world leaders. God help us. We're not, amen, deceived by Putin over here in Russia. The little pot-belly stove that's over in North Korea. We're not deceived by them guys. It's evident who they are. because they don't wear sheep's clothing. These spirits are out there and they dress up in sheep's clothing. Amen. But if you watch them long enough, they'll make wolf tracks. Antichrists are religious people. They're not atheists. They're not dictators who left the Church of God congregation. They were Church of God people that wore a Church of God, amen, covering. You see, if it wasn't Church of God people, they couldn't affect you. If somebody come in and they don't profess and they leave, you take it for granted that's what they're going to do anyhow. But when they carry that Bible, they sit in those seats and holler, amen. Amen. And yet they don't walk the walk as their brother preached. And then they leave. They usually take somebody with them. Why? Because they've gained confidence of the people. Now, I'm going to close. One reason, two reasons. I'm the end of the message. The other reason is my leg hurts. So, the enemy would love to get us looking into the future for an Antichrist. Well, that spirit works right amongst us, church. Even today, it works among us. When they went out, it doesn't say they took down the Church of God sign. It didn't say they automatically become a name of another church. They could have went out and said, we're the first Church of God. Didn't say that. They didn't take down their banners. They just set up camp elsewhere. Now, we're to the place in this day and age where it seems like ones accept division. Love them right up. Bring them right into the congregation. Love them up. Where you been? Oh, I left Charlie's congregation. Why? Oh, I didn't agree the way he acted. You better be sure. You better be sure you're right. Because if you're not right, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, you're not going to make it. Now, I agree. There's a call for people to come out of the congregations. Absolutely. And I believe God's faithful for that. And I believe people are faithful to answer that call. Absolutely. But division tried to work. I read it to you in the Corinthian church. And Apostle Paul headed it off. How? By letter. What was working? Christ was divided. What did Paul tell them in the first chapter? All speak the same thing. That didn't mean that every pastor got up and just preached every little issue the same way. He preached the same thing. What was the same thing they needed to preach? That which was causing division. That Christ is not divided. All you got to do is follow through the letter and find out what was causing the division. What was it? Division was caused by picking different preachers. And Paul is saying, don't do that. They're all at your disposal. That's where we're at today. One's leaning to their own understanding. Antichrist is not some world leader or someone rising up in tribulation. Amen. No. It's what? Church of God people. Neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, a religious professor. The Bible backs me up when it says they went out from us. He's not talking about Pharaoh. He's not talking about one of the dictators back in that day. He's not talking about Herod. Who's he talking about? The us. All right, see, I made this statement. They went out from us. I wrote you a letter and I said, they went out from us. Who's the us? Wouldn't I be included? Wouldn't John be included in that? Do you understand it? Do you understand it? Let us stand. Let us stand and you're all dismissed.